Hi, I'm Kelly Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. When you were born again, God gave you a faith, the same faith Jesus describes in Mark 11, that tells the mountains to be removed, that tells trees to be picked up, plucked up by the roots, and thrown into the sea. This is a faith that receives every blessing God has promised and allows you to live in victory over the challenges of the world. However, boy, we heard this a lot as kids. There's one thing that stops this powerful force of faith, and that is strife. Faith works by love. And today, my dad, Kenneth Copeland, will show you how to keep strife out of your life and family so that your faith is effective and working all the time.
Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Now, Jesus was very, very specific concerning this. And let's start with the 14th verse. The sower sows the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. When they have heard, Satan cometh immediately to take away the word that was sown in their heart. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. Now, religion has told us that persecution and affliction arise because God's trying to teach you something. Now, God puts you through that, so in blah, 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 but that ain't what Jesus said, and red words win. I don't care if mom and them said that. Just God bless them. They just need to learn better than that. We're going to follow Jesus. Now, he said that these things happen for the word's sake. They have no root in themselves, endure but for a time. Afterward, when afflictions, persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. These are they which are sown among thorns. All right. Now, look at this. The cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the lust or the pressures of other things entering in. They have to enter in order to choke the word, and then the word becomes unfruitful. Unfruitful. I said unfruitful. Where have you heard fruitful? Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it and have dominion over it. He's talking about the blessing. He's talking about the blessing in every one of these. So now, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So now, all these people heard the word. All of them received it with gladness, but only 25% of them produced. All of them heard. All of them faced the devil on exactly the same ground. God is no respecter of persons, and the devil is stuck with it. And God did not license the devil to come against you. No, sir. The devil is self-employed. He don't ever listen to anybody unless they speak in power and authority in the name of Jesus, and then he listens, and he will obey. He'll run from you. Amen. Hallelujah. Now then, those five things, persecution, becoming offended, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, pressure of other things entering in. That is the list of the five tools that Satan uses to get the word out of you once you've heard it, to stop the blessing working in you, to stop you from receiving. Now, I want you to, that they're laid out in the order of Satan's success, the things he has most success from. And they are connected with one another. Every one of them, all five of them, are fear-based and fear-dependent. Without fear, they don't work. It just shuts them down. Now, this works together. You notice how closely tied to persecution is becoming offended. You notice they're just hooked right there together? Now, why is it so important? Why is it so important not to get offended? Why? You have to be afraid in the first place. It's fear dependent. It won't work. Offense doesn't work if you're not afraid. Fear just rises up. You may not even realize it's fear. But fear's job is not primarily to bring you to a state of fright. Fear's job is to bring you to a state of unbelief. Fear's job is to alter the Word of God and tell you that you'll never get it, you can't get it, God don't love you, blah, 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 and all that other mess. That's all comes out of the root of fear. Now, how does fear get in the first place? Every time you violate the commandment of love, fear is the result. Because perfected love, 1 John 4:18, casteth out or flushes out fear. You keep practicing the love of God and you stir up the gift of God that's within you. See, your spirit's not producing fear. When you got born again, your spirit started producing faith. But without love, your faith is weak. Love is to your faith what air is to a tire. There's no way that set of new tires can support the load they were designed to carry unless they got air in them. Your faith cannot support the load it was designed to carry without love in it. And every time you act on unforgiveness, every time you act out of the love of God, violate the commandment of love, fear is a result. You feed it in there. It's not in there already. Faith is in there already. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and it comes up on the inside of you. Fear comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of the devil, and you meditate on those and violate that commandment of love. It comes in from the outside and begins to compound in there, particularly in your soul. So, as you begin to practice the love of God, you need to practice it all the time. Every morning when you get up, open your eyes, say, Lord, I love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind and my strength. I love my neighbor as myself, and I love the brethren the way you love the brethren. And I give myself to you, and I give myself to them today. Amen. You start your day exercising love. Exercising it. Exercising it. And then quote scriptures. Love never fails. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. The grace of God is in me and on me. Hallelujah. Start talking love. Go through 1 Corinthians, the 12th and 13th chapters, and come down there where it says all this whole list that love is, and put yourself in there. I am never offended. I'm never puffed up. No, no. I count no wrong done to me. See what I'm doing? I'm wearing my armor and I'm casting that stuff off. I don't pay attention to it. If I do, it turns into persecution, which would cause me to be offended, and fear gets involved into that. I'm going down fast. Because he'll steal the word out of me. He gets the word out of me. I'm in deep trouble. Amen? All right. Now then, persecution, becoming offended. This thing, I'm telling you this thing. Let me read some scriptures here for you. Let's look. Well, turn to the book of Joshua. Now, I want you to notice this in the book of Joshua, because the 13th verse, up, sanctify the people. Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. They were at war. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of you, Israel, and you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. If you get strife and unbelief in the midst of your family after all the things that God says about it being an accursed thing, you won't be able to stand up against your enemies. You may be shouting the name of Jesus as loud as you can, but if there's no love, there's no faith. And without faith in the name of Jesus, you can't shout it loud enough to make it be worth anything. Now, if we had time, we could spend some time in that, but we're going to go ahead now in this. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. I want you to put your eyes on these things. There's a reason I'm not going to just read them out to you. Proverbs chapter 10, and let's look at the 12th verse. Hatred stirs up strifes, but love covers all sins. Now, strife, the definition of strife, and particularly scriptural definition of it, is discord, lack of agreement, or no agreement. Agreement is not there. So any two of you on earth that won't agree, ain't nothing going to happen. You see that? It's just the opposite from any two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. It's just the opposite of that. Discord, lack of agreement, lack of harmony. It emphasizes a struggle for superiority. Instead of esteeming someone higher than yourself, you're trying to get your point across where you're superior to them. Well, now, brother, come on. Now, wait a minute, don't start yeah-butting me over this. I'm reading Scripture, you understand? I'm talking Scripture here to you. Now, look at Proverbs 15, verse 18. Now, this is by no means an exhaustive list. This just gets you started. A wrathful man stirs up strife. When you get mad, you stir up strife. The Scripture says, be angry, but sin not. Keep your mouth shut. Get out of there. Before you start strife going, you go repent. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. Proverbs 16:28. A disobedient man sows strife, and a whisperer separates chief friends. All right. Proverbs 17:14. The beginning of strife is as when one lets out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Now, it is like, one translation says, it is like a crack in a dam. Stop it before it becomes a fight. Don't keep on until it breaks the dam, and now you're going to have to fight for your life. Don't keep on until it creates fights between people, because once it gets let out, brother, I'm telling you what, it is hard to get it back in there. You know how water is under pressure. A little leak comes in the dam. You better get out of there, because that whole thing's coming down. It'll tear your whole financial life to shreds. Now then, Let's look at Proverbs chapter 22. And the 10th verse. Cast out the scorner, and contention will go out. Strife and reproach will stop. Proverbs 26:20. Where no wood is, the fire goes out. So where there's no talebearer, the strife ceases. Did you ever fuss with somebody that won't fuss? I've been living with a woman for 48 years that don't fight. Now, she's not weak. She's not mealy-mouthed at all. But she don't fuss. And I used to try to fuss with her. We have never had a fuss. I had a bunch. But we never had one. She don't fuss. And the time that just marked me inside and out. We'd been preaching, men preaching, 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 preaching. We'd been preaching in Australia and we'd been all over Australia and different places. And so on the way home, we stayed in Hawaii for a few days to rest up and catch our breath before we come on back home. And it was a bright, pretty day there in Honolulu. And that morning we got up and there was a little, in the hotel there, you go downstairs, there was a little breakfast area down there. Just had fruit and yogurt and that kind of thing. Not a big, full-blown breakfast. But it just sat right out there, just stuck out there kind of like by itself. And it was just gorgeous. The ocean is just beautiful. And Glory wanted to go down there. I don't want to go anywhere. I could have skipped this whole day if you'd just leave me alone. I'd have woke up about dark. Got up and got a drink of water and gone back to bed. That's the way I felt. I'm dragging around. Do you know that ain't no excuse to violate the laws of love? And it's no excuse to sin. There is no excuse to sin. The answer is no excuse, sir. Yes, sir. I repent. Thank you. Well, we went down there. Glory wanted to go down. And we're sitting there. And I'm nibbling around on this and that and other. I'm tired. I'm grumping, growling. And that part of my natural trait, as most of you know, I'm an Indian. And particularly my brand of Indian. The Cherokees, Choctaws, well, nearly all of us are the same way. But my family, my grandpa was particularly that way. We get up in the morning. I don't want to talk. And white folks want to talk, man. All the time. And they get up bright in the morning, you know. Amen. And they're buzzing around the kitchen and they're yep, 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 yep. Let me alone. I'll talk to you in a little while. And Gloria had to learn that, but there ain't no excuse in that. And the Lord's helped me. I done real good. I get up in the morning, I say, good morning. No, I learned how to be blessed in the morning. That's just a natural thing. You can overcome that with love and the Word of God. But we got up to leave there, and it had been a real nice little breakfast. It's just a lovely thing. And Gloria was so pretty. And I'm sitting there thinking, how pretty she is and what a blessing she is to me. She said something to me. I didn't intend to do it. I just rock. And I knew, oh, man, I didn't have any business barking at her like that. But I bark before I could unbark. That's what you need to be cautious of and take care of that before you ever leave your bedroom. You come out of there confessing the love of God in the name of Jesus because you're aware of your enemy. And he can't get to you as long as love is functioning because your faith is functioning and that's your shield. Hallelujah. And I barked at her and I said, oh, Gloria, I apologize. Well, she was standing right in front of me. And when I looked down there at her, one little tear. And she caught me by my shirt collar. And she pulled me down and she said, I'm going to be a blessing to you some way. Oh, baby. Well, I mean, I folded up right there in that hotel. I just folded up. It marked my life forever. Now, she'd always been like that, and it had changed me, and the Lord has been working with me, and I have great desire to walk strife-free. But that day, my wife, by the word of God, marked my spirit, my soul, and my body. I'll never be the same again. I broke free. I'll never, ever be the same again. Anytime there's the slightest kind of cross word coming out of me where she's concerned, I go right straight to her right then. I promise God that I'd do this, and I go right straight to her right then. I make a point of it, and I repent before her and before the Lord Jesus. And I say, Jesus, I repent. I violated the commandment of love, and I'm an order keeper. I am not a condemner. I am not a condemner. I am a forgiver in the name of Jesus. I do not condemn. I forgive and I receive it. And I say to her, Glory, in the name of Jesus, that I will not tolerate this in my life. And I repent before you, darling. I tell you, help me. I repent. Amen. Men, I don't care what it is. Take the blame for it. That's what you're supposed to do. The scripture says treat her as a weaker vessel. It didn't say she's a weaker vessel. Women are stronger than men. It just told us our role. Treat her as if she's weak and fragile, like a precious work of art. And put her up on a pedestal and keep her there.
Yes.
And treat her right. Amen. Hallelujah. Take the blame for it. Repent, whatever it was, and get the strife out of there and go on about your business. Amen.
It's so hard to love that person who wronged me.
God, I don't know how you can love me when I'm always messing up.
It's time to break free from love-limiting thoughts and understand that God has given you the capacity for His love. Get Faith in God's Love, 4 messages by Kenneth Copeland, and begin to develop your faith concerning the love of God. He is love. If He dwells in you, then love dwells in you. God says His love has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. That means you have the ability to not only believe, but receive, give, and live by the love of God. And love never fails. When you order your thoughts, feelings, and will according to His Word, you can choose the love way every time. Become rooted and grounded in the love of God by putting His Word first place. All fear is cast out when you have faith in God's love. Download your copy of Faith in God's Love free on our website, kcm.org/TV special. As you listen to these messages by Kenneth Copeland, fear will be cast out of your life and you'll be assured of God's love for you. Discover that knowing how much God loves you brings strength to your faith and makes it easy for you to receive His goodness in your life. Offer good for 30 days. Download your free copy and start developing your faith in God's love today.
Hebrews 6:12 says we are to follow or imitate the example of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I can't think of a better example of two people who have done that than my parents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. I have watched them study God's Word, stand in faith on His promises, and receive what they were believing for. And the things they've learned from God's Word for nearly 60 years, they didn't keep that to themselves. They've dedicated their lives to sharing those principles with the body of Christ. And even when times have been tough, they faithfully have stood on God's promises until they manifested. Believers around the world have seen a living example that faith in God's Word always works. And when you partner with us at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, you are tapping into that faith that they walked in and still walk in. We don't just collect the seeds you sow. We see your financial seed as our connection to you, to help you, to connect to you, to pour into you the same word that my parents have learned and that they've taught us all. We've all come into agreement with you over every seed you sow, no matter how big or small, and we add our faith to yours, believing with you to receive the full manifestation of all that He's promised. God is no respecter of persons. He's faithful to do what His Word promises. And what He's done for Mom and Dad and all of us here, He will do for you if you will just stick with Him and stay in faith. Let me pray over your offering. Father, I receive in the name of Jesus as a representative of Kenneth Copeland Ministries and a representative of you, Lord. I receive every seed right now being sown into this ministry and into the work of the kingdom. I receive, Lord, seed that people may not have in their hand, but they're asking you for seed so that they can sow it. Lord, we receive that seed by faith in advance. And we ask you to not only bring them the seed, but go ahead and bring the harvest in. I thank you, Lord, that you have caused us to reap what we sow in the name of Jesus. Partners and friends, we thank you for joining us today. And until next time, this is Kelly Copeland reminding you that God loves you. We love you. And Jesus is Lord.
To give by text, text the letters KCM to 36609.